We're living in the age of smart. Smart phones, smart cars. Heck, they even got smart refrigerators. And now, there's Smart Foil by Agroxy. Nah, it ain't for your kitchen. It's a biological foliar application for soybean growers. Specifically, the ones that know you gotta protect your beans at flowering if you want yield. Smart Foil reduces environmental stress, like heat and drought when it matters most, giving you better pod count and yield potential. It's the smart thing to do for your soybeans. So ask your retailer about Smart Foil by Agroxine or visit bigbeanbloom.com to learn more.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-230-2777. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-230-2777, 800-230-2777, or biglou.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Italy, President Biden and Pope Francis meeting privately on the final day of the G7 summit. Earlier, leaders and invited guests standing for the traditional family photo, including with the Pope. The Pope becoming the first pontiff to address the leaders at the G7 summit. He spoke about the risks of AI. The Supreme Court, in a split decision today, ruling against a ban on bump stocks. The devices fitted to a firearm allow the semi-automatic weapon to fire multiple rounds faster. Justices say the ATF exceeded its authority when it issued that ban.
This law dates back to 1934 when the government banned machine guns that, with the single pull of a trigger, fire a huge spray of bullets at hundreds of rounds per minute. And what the conservative justices are saying here is that these bump stocks, as unsavory as they may be, as dangerous as they may be, as public menaces as many may see them, they simply don't meet the definition under federal law.
ABC's Devin Dwyer. This is ABC News. It's another blow for the people of Gaza who are fighting hunger in the north, even starvation. The U.S. Army once again suspending operations of the humanitarian floating pier it's built off Gaza's coast. It's the third suspension in just a month.
This time again, the destructive high seas to blame. They recently broke apart the $230 million pier. Now, to avoid it happening again as more bad weather comes in, U.S. officials say they will move the pier to Israel's Ashdod port. The pier was meant to deliver 2 million meals a day to Gaza's hungry, but it's fallen short of that goal. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
Some Wells Fargo workers have been fired after being accused of faking work while working from home. The bank says the employees were using a system to simulate keyboard activity to make it look like they were working. The Florida Panthers, now just one win away from winning the Stanley Cup. They topped the Oilers 4-3 last night. The next game tomorrow. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off Super Paint products and Super Deck stains from June 14th through the 24th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
It's time to escape it all and make your shower feel as luxurious as a bubble bath with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. The sweet scent of roses and cherries surrounds you, while the thick, creamy lather covers your skin in moisturizing layers of vitamin B3 complex. It'll turn your shower into a spa. The real world will still be out there, so indulge in here just a little while longer. Available in 5 luxurious scents at your local retailer and online.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. A 9-year-old boy is dead after a shooting on Milwaukee's north side. Joniel Zambrano died at a hospital after gunfire outside of an apartment building broke through a bedroom window of the unit where he lived and struck him in the head around midnight Thursday. Six children, including Jonelle, have been killed this year by gun violence in Milwaukee. That leads Mayor Cavalier Johnson to ask Wisconsin legislators for changes in state gun laws.
It's terrible. I mean, these are things that should not happen. Ask them that question and what they are doing to protect kids in this city.
No arrests have been made in the shooting. Donald Trump walks back remarks about the city where he'll be accepting his party's presidential nomination next month.
Milwaukee hosts the Republican National Convention July 15th through 18th. D.C.-based media outlet Punchbowl News first reported the former president referred to Milwaukee as a horrible city in remarks to House Republicans on Thursday. Wisconsin House Republicans gave different versions of what was said. Janesville's Brian Stile tweeted that Trump didn't say it. Derek Van Orden said Trump was referring to crime in the city, while Glenn Grothman and Scott Fitzgerald said the comments referred to election integrity. Trump later told Fox News he was referencing both those things and that he loves Milwaukee. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Homicide charges have been dropped against a Madison man in an apparent self-defense shooting from 2022. Dane County prosecutors have dismissed the charges against 32-year-old Calaton Jefferson for the shooting of 30-year-old Corey Mitchell. The DA's office determined it can't disprove Jefferson's theory that he fired one shot in self-defense as Mitchell approached his car in an apartment parking lot. Mitchell is afforded the self-defense argument as part of Wisconsin's Castle Doctrine law. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
NTEC is constantly evolving to bring you the very best communication services. Our high-speed, high-quality internet, voice, and video services help you make the connections that matter. We may have a new look, but we're still the same local provider you know and love right here in Durand. NTEC grows and changes as you do, so we can always meet your needs. Visit ntec.net to learn more. That's ntec.net.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A high-pressure system is dominating the area, providing blue skies and plenty of sunshine alongside calm winds and pleasant temperatures. Highs today flirting with 80 degrees, and for tomorrow, showers by the afternoon and heavy rain at night. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 76.
Yesterday's enthusiasm for a rally in corn turned into disappointment today. Same is true for the bean market. And wheat finished lower after what was kind of a brutal week. Lean hog futures were mixed, but there is some hope for the back month contracts. And live cattle futures took a look at a red-hot cash market and finished the week with a big rally.
Live from the final pit stop of the week via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we wrap up the week with Tommy Grisafi from Advanced Trading. Later, we bring you Austin the Ace Dillon, driver of RCR's number 3 Chevy Camaro. I'm a handsome newsman, Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chuck Flory.
All right, Davis. Yeah, man, I had that conversation with Austin a little bit ago, and it was fun, fun. To say that Austin and the other drivers, NASCAR drivers, that are going to be at the Iowa Speedway this weekend, running in the Iowa Corn 350 powered by ethanol on Sunday, to say that they are a little excited about this race, I think would be an understatement. It's going to be a fast track, okay. No doubt. Okay. No doubt. So they're really looking forward to it. Hey, welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis.
Hello.
And Austin Dillon. Yeah, at the end of the show.
That's pretty cool.
It's very cool. We talked with Richard Childress from Richard Childress Racing this morning. Had that interview at the end of the morning show, and now we've got Austin Dillon at the end of this afternoon show. But, you know, we can't ignore what's coming up before Austin. I mean, it's tough to ignore it, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. We got Tommy Grisafi on the show, man.
Yeah, absolutely we do. It's going to be a great day. It's very exciting.
Yeah,
Tommy's always good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a great way to wrap up the week because it's a casual conversation, yet I know he's going to bring something to it that'll give me something to think about over the weekend.
Well, there you go. See?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And what a weekend it is. What a weekend. We got Father's Day. Yep. Have you got your Father's Day Speedo all warmed up and ready to go?
Oh, I sure do. Yes.
Good.
Yeah. It's got a big F for father right on the front of it. Yeah.
Is that it?
That's right. Yep.
Fantastic.
Oh, you know, one day a year,
Father's
I bring
Day.
It
Fantastic.
Up. Yep. Yeah. That's how you know.
Good deal. So happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. We've golf fans. We got the U.S. Open going. Mm-hmm. Race fans. We've got the Iowa Corn 350 powered by ethanol. It's a great weekend. Great weekend. Oh,
and the Yankees did not sweep the Royals. So, you know, everybody wins.
Yeah. Yeah. Cubs cards.
Uh-huh.
Whew. It's good stuff.
That's a
good
big one.
Good stuff. Yep. All right, man. Let's go ahead and get to the news. What do you got?
Well, dude, wheat futures resumed the price slide today, but July's soft red winter wheat futures traded mostly sideways in the second half of the week. Front month SRW futures spent the last 3 days of the week inside of Tuesday's trading range. July hard red winter wheat futures closed at a new low for the week and are set to test support at the May 1st low of 6.22¾. The wheat market is still struggling to digest news out of the Black Sea region. Dry growing conditions has many crop watchers expecting lower wheat output, but the Ukraine Ag Ministry this week raised its outlook for the country's wheat crop to 21 million metric tons. That's up 3.6 million tons from its previous estimate. Traders also factoring in the increase to the U.S. wheat crop estimates from USDA released at midweek. July HRW wheat futures 9¼ cents lower, 6.27½. July SRW wheat down 7¼ to 6.12¾. July spring wheat closed at 6.55½, down 11½ cents. Chip, that report, as quietly as it arrived, it suddenly was gone.
Yeah, that's right. 17 million bushels added to the 2024 winter wheat crop in that report. I don't think it was a big surprise to anybody based on some of the harvest reports that we are getting from the countryside. On the week, July SRW futures down 14¾ cents. July HRW futures, get this, down 38¼, and July spring wheat futures down 39 cents on the week.
Well, Chip, July corn futures flushed 2 days of price gains in one session to finish the week. Front month futures today opened slightly lower and near session highs and then fell to a session low close at support at 450. The forecast calls for warmer and drier conditions across the Corn Belt the next 10 days, although there is still rain in the forecast for this weekend in many locations across the belt. Traders see little reason to be concerned about crop conditions at this time. Corn export demand remains a positive for the market, but corn market bulls remain very cautious. Most of the strength in the corn market earlier this week was, again, tied to short covering. July corn futures 8½ cents lower today, 450. September corn down 6½ to 457. December corn futures closed at 470¼, down 5¾ cents. Chip, it's 450 all over again.
Yeah, and again, and again, again.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, traders might not be concerned about this corn crop, but I had that drive to southwest Minnesota this week, and I'm telling you, I haven't seen this many holes in a corn crop in a long time, A lot of drowned out spots that are going to have to be accounted for at some point. July corn on the week down 1¼ cents. Dees corn down 3 cents.
Well, Chip, even with an increase in soybean export demand from China and unknown destinations this week, front month beans remain tethered to 1180. July beans have traded on both sides of 1180 for 9 consecutive sessions. Effort to get the final bean acres planted this year are still underway. Some additional delays in the northern production areas in the week ahead will likely encourage producers to consider a prevent plant claim in some areas. July bean oil futures were slightly higher on the week, but front month bean oil is finding resistance at 44 cents as U.S. renewable diesel refiners focused on importing cheaper feedstocks. July beans 9¾ cents lower, 11.79¾. August beans down a dime, 11.68¼. November beans closed at 11.49¾, down 10½, Chip.
All right. July soybeans on the week down, up a half cent. That's on the entire week. November soybeans this week fell 8 cents. July bean oil up 5 points. And get this one. July soybean meal up $7.70 a ton. A big move
right there. Yeah. Well, the downtrend in cotton futures continued this week. Front month futures closed near the low of the week. July cotton today, 38 points lower at 70.97. It's got to be ugly on the week, doesn't it, Chip?
It is, down 287 points in a market that's been under pressure for a long time.
Yeah. Well, on your livestock's heavyweight choice graded boxer beef prices were $1.50 higher this morning, and select boxes jumped $3.80 on moderate movement. That helped the cash cattle market trade higher this week, pulling live cattle and feeder futures sharply higher. June live cattle futures closed above resistance at the March 14 high. June fats today were $2 higher at 186.82 and a half. August feeders up $4.50 to 261.97 and one half. And finally, on the snout side, front month lean hog futures drifted lower today, while back month futures rallied on long overdue short covering. June hogs today 57.5 cents lower at 91.17 and a half. Look out for the October contract, up $1.25 to 76.75. Chip.
All right, thank you very much. Yeah, June live cattle on the week up $4.65. August feeder cattle up $7.05. And June lean hogs down $1.35. But boy, that cash cattle market, at the start of the week, everybody was looking for lower values. And then all of a sudden, the box beef market started chugging along. The cash market caught fire, traded to a new all-time high in the north. I believe a 196 was traded. It was a hot week in the cash cattle trade. We got Tommy Grisafi up next here on AgriTalk. Stan Nelson is the Iowa Corn Promotion Board president. He joins us right now. Stan, corn-based ethanol, it's going to be in the fuel tanks at the Iowa Corn 350. Iowa Corn ethanol really helps to power the economy in the Corn Belt, and particularly in Iowa, doesn't it?
It sure does, Chip. I like numbers, and if we divide Iowa's 2023 corn crop by the race's 350 laps, each time around the track would equate to 7 million bushels.
How else does the Iowa Corn Promotion Board help to power the ag economy?
Well, the checkoff money goes to their three buckets: research and business development, and producer and consumer education.
Yeah, and through those three buckets, there's a ton of new uses being developed for corn, right?
Yeah, we're using corn to make different chemicals, and we've been doing that for a long time. The newest is biosynthetic materials, or biosynthetic fiber, like to go into spandex.
Yeah, very cool. The corn is used so many different ways, 4,000 different ways.
Chip, sometimes it's really hard to communicate the quality of product we have. And the best way I found to do that was, most people think the finest wine you can get is French wine. And why is that? And it's because their soil and climate and generational knowledge of wine production. And when we talk about corn and grain production, you come to Iowa for the same reasons: soils, climate, and generational knowledge of production.
Fantastic. Stan, where can listeners go for more information on race weekend, the Iowa Corn 350, and the power of corn?
New website, recently rebuilt, iowacorn.org.
Excellent. That's www.iowacorn.org. Stan Nelson, Iowa Corn Promotion Board President.
Retirement.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that Wisconsin cheesemakers produce over 600 varieties, types, and styles of cheeses? Americans' per capita cheese consumption was 33.5 pounds in 2011, and a 1 ounce slice of Wisconsin cheese contains about the same amount of protein as an 8 ounce glass of milk. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by BioVet. BioVet offers a complete line of products, including capsules, pastes, soluble powders, calf and cattle electrolytes, and daily feed additives for your dairy herd. Find out more by visiting bio-vet.com.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk. Got a project going this weekend.
You do?
I might not be back Monday. I don't know how this is going to go.
How dangerous is it? And do we need to buy you a helmet?
It might not hurt, but that it would be for other stuff, not for this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm replacing the electric drive motor in my rock tumbler today.
Okay.
I just got the replacement motor. I'm gonna try and fix it.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a nice little project to have.
Well, something happened. I don't know if my flywheel, you know, the shaft or whatever got loose in there or bent. Yeah. I don't know how that would have happened, but it just isn't working right. So you know what?
Well,
let's put a new motor in it and see how we do.
Well, when you put 8 pounds of rocks into a 4 pound tumbler, sometimes that'll happen.
I'm just too good at finding keepers. That's my problem.
That's it. Just don't forget, keepers. You can unplug that. You can unplug that before you start, you know, reconnecting wires.
You know what? I'm going to try and remember that. I'll give that a shot if my first plan doesn't work.
Good. All right. Let's get this conversation going with welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis. Tommy Grisafi, Ag Bull Media, Advanced Trading is our guest analyst today. Tommy, how you doing, buddy?
Good. Happy Friday, guys. Happy Father's Day, and excited about the weekend. And what a close for corn.
Yeah, well,
oof.
Expand on that a little bit. What didn't you like about it?
Well, I liked it. I have a personal position in corn, and so I was happy as a trader. But as a commodity broker, you know, you're working with guys who are still holding that old crop, and you know, I can't go sell it for them. They have to go sell it. And so there's old crop out there, and there's a lot of potential for new crop. Now, although I do respect what I heard you say at the beginning of the show about the holes in Minnesota,
yeah,
but I really believe that's a Nov, December, January, February rally that comes in with, oh,
yeah,
you know what? There was a problem there. But for now, all eyes on next Friday, first notice day, not first notice day, I apologize, expiration for July options next week.
Yeah.
And I had a feeling, I thought maybe we could trade down into July options expiration, just like we did the March options expiration. Mm-hmm. And we didn't do it for the May, but we had a disaster that Friday when March options expired. And then we had first notice day in March. That was the low of the move. And that was an ugly day, like a down 12 or 15 cents. But what I noticed today, we were down pretty good.
Okay.
Real good, accelerated at the end. But I was able to buy corn 2 cents below settlement here at 117 in the afternoon. So Dees corn closed at 470 and a quarter, settled there. It traded 468 and a quarter after hours. Same thing with July corn. It closed exactly at 450 and traded down to 458. And, you know, Chip, 448.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't hear the roar. I'm sitting in my basement. I have all these screens. I don't know who was selling it. I don't know who sold me corn down to after hours, but they did.
Right.
And we'll see where we open
what
Sunday
evening.
What is
this after-hour trade that you're talking about?
The CME does – great question. CME does a quick settle. I think they do it within on my software. I have keep my tickets to settle. And so at about 1:15 and 30 seconds, we're settled for the day. And in the old days, we used to have a modified in the pit. That was to stop curb trading, which was illegal trading after the bell. And then they made it legal. They said, guys, need to square up. We have a close because you have to open the markets and you have to close the markets. When you close them, that is done for the day. So all money squared up, if you have a July position, long or short, is based off 450. But the market stays open for 5 more minutes till 120. And to me, that is the after the market closed. That is the electronic curve.
Gotcha. Good stuff. And, you know, that goes back to the pit days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
funny story.
Yeah, go ahead.
When the pits were still open, on busy days, I'd have an office at the Board of Trade, and we would trade crop reports, and you had the choice to trade electronically or on the floor.
Yeah.
But the modified, the electronics would close, and you could run down to the floor and trade for 5 minutes. So they used to close the market, stay closed for 5 minutes. I had I don't remember how many floors are at the Board of Trade, 42, and I had a tiny office on the 41st floor. I'd hit that button and run. It's fun to see me sprint, but I'd sprint in that corn pit to trade the modified so you could buy corn below or above settle. And there's certain times of the year it was a real gift. So the trade was a heck of a pit trade for that modified close. And then again, we closed the pits officially, I feel like, summer of 2015. God, that was a long time ago.
Long time ago already, dude. A long time ago. And we've talked about the impact of that on the grain markets and how it's taken some of the human element out of it over the years. And it's a different market. I'm not saying that it's a worse market. I'm just saying that it's a different market, isn't it?
Yeah, it's I would say you have to watch technicals a little bit more. Yep. And we never quite know who we're trading with. Let me give you an example. PJ, who you know, options broker, PJ Quaid, he put out has a newsletter, and he's like, someone bought at night the other night, what was yesterday, Thursday. So Wednesday night coming into Thursday's trade, Thursday's business, between Wednesday, Thursday morning, someone bought 10,000 SEP 550 calls from 4.5 to 5.5. Great. I don't know who it was. I have no clue who it was. I'll never know, ever. But I know how many traded and at what price, and the rest you have to figure out.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. So what are you missing when you don't know who did that? How does that affect how you're thinking about the markets, Tommy?
I can't hear the roar. Yeah. And so let me give you an example. A few months ago when that news came out about bird flu, I was on an interview like this with Don Wick. We were recording something with a video. And I have one of those super long Dell monitors, like a 49-inch Dell monitor. I was looking at myself and Don Wick recording, and I did not see cattle went from up 100 to down limit, and big limit, like minus 575, because I couldn't hear the roar. I couldn't hear noise. Yep. I didn't have a position on it, so my money wasn't moving. And I missed the roar. And that was bad. I mean, if I would have seen that headline and could have traded that, that was unbelievable information. But I didn't hear the roar. I didn't hear the headlines. I didn't see a broker run in from ADM or one of the big Prosel brothers or someone bid up the market.
I was just going to say you couldn't hear the phone starting to ring. And your phone rang. Look at that.
Yeah. That's it probably means it's time for a commercial break. That's probably Davis calling saying, get him off the air. Pull him off.
No way.
I'm calling to say, give me more. Give me more, baby.
Yeah. Let's go back to the first point that you were making. We got the last trading day or option expiration on the July options for next week. Still quite a bit of open interest in those July options, isn't there?
Yep. Then we'll go first notice day within a few days into corn. And a little scary on what could happen. Now, you're starting to see cash market improvement. I've had clients all over America call and say, you're not going to believe this. They just offered me 10, 15 cents better. And some of them have said it. They must be running out of corn. I don't believe that's true at all. I believe the American farmer is so cash strong that they are willing to take 2023 bushels and turn them into 2024 bushels because they're so disappointed in selling it at this price. So I don't think we're running out of corn. I think it's just in hands that we're extremely busy getting the crop in. So we rushed to get this last part of the crop in. Now we're rushing to spray it. And then now in the next few weeks, people will have to make good on these July deliveries, decide if they're going to pay storage on grain, sitting at elevators. And they planted the most expensive crop. Go ahead.
And they're going to have to figure out how much room they think they're going to need for the 2024 crop.
Yep. And I was down at corporate yesterday. I worked with a young man named Nathan Mangold. And at Advanced Corporate on the elevator side, they have these maps and analytics of space. So the commercial department will meet and say, how much space is available commercially in Minnesota, in North Dakota, in Iowa? Okay. And so as we work with these elevators and figure out commercial space, the farmer individually has to act like a little elevator and figure out how much space they need, what they want to sell off the combine and turn into cash, which is very important. You know, we'll talk interest rates here today, probably. Yeah. And how do they want their money? What bushels do they think they have? Do they have any old crop left? And I truly believe there's some poor marketing going on because land prices are maintaining almost record highs.
Yeah. That's interesting. We're going to have to figure out exactly what is happening in that market with the land prices. And you know, Tommy, when we come back, you're right. I want to talk about interest rates with you. I want to talk about how is some of the influences into the commodity world. And hey, we can talk the impact online on land prices as well. But I do want to talk interest rates. And, I want to get your attitude. What is your attitude in the grain market on 24 crop, corn and soybeans as we make our way into the middle of June? Well, here we are. You know, it's Flag Day today. Oh, and happy birthday to Bailey, my daughter-in-law Bailey. She's one of the most patriotic girls I know out there. She's waving the flag on Flag Day for her birthday. Okay, we're talking to Tommy Grisafi, Ag Bull Media, Advanced Trading. We're going to continue the conversation next.
Spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
That's the sound of your current hype level at the gas pump. But brace yourself for something fuel nominal, because Unleaded 88 is about to take the hype to a whole new level. Unleaded 88 is cheaper, cleaner, and greener than regular unleaded. Plus, it's homegrown, making Unleaded 88 the clear choice at the pump and totally worth the hype. So pump it up with Unleaded 88, brought to you by Iowa Corn.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. For July, HRW wheat futures were 9¼ cents lower at 627½. July SRW wheat down 7¼ cents to 612¾. July corn futures were 8½ cents lower, right at 450 on the close. December corn futures closed at 470¼. That's down 5¾. July soybean futures were 9¾ cents lower at 1179¾. November beans closed at 1149¾, down 10½ on the day. July cotton 38 points lower, 70.97. On your livestock's June fats today, $2 higher, 186.82½. August feeder futures up $4.5 to 261.97½. June hogs today 57½ lower, 91.17½. But the October contract up $1.02½. Get more, try ProFarmer.com.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
Better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabu Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A high-pressure system is dominating the area, providing blue skies and plenty of sunshine, alongside calm winds and pleasant temperatures. Highs today, flirting with 80 degrees, and for tomorrow, showers by the afternoon and heavy rain at night. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 76.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Davis, why does it feel appropriate to have a little Nickelback on here when Grisafi's on?
It never doesn't not feel inappropriate to have Nickelback. Also, can I just finish my thought from before?
Yeah.
Try ProFarmer.com.
Perfect.
Missed it.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. We're in the middle of a conversation with Tommy Grisafi, Ag Bull Media and Advanced Trading. Let's get on to interest rates, Tommy. You mentioned it at the end of the last segment. The Fed decided not to change its monetary policy at the FOMC meeting this week. If anybody was looking for a cut to interest rates, I don't know if they were paying attention. What's your thoughts?
Well, real quick in review, right up to Christmas of 2023, we took the 10-year down to 3.80, and then all the talking heads, whoever those people are, I kind of feel like it's the New York smart crowd. I went to Harvard, look at me, and they said there's going to be 5 rate cuts. That did not happen. Wrong. That did not happen. We've had zero rate cuts this year. Yeah. And that's where we are. And we may have to stay there because the Fed is kind of has like a little conundrum going on where if they say they want interest inflation around 2% before they cut and interest rate and inflation's at 3.2, 3.3, which still sounds like it's low, but it's really like you and I going to a party bragging that we only gained 3 pounds. You know, we're not losing weight here, folks. We're just gaining weight slower. What's happening when you have an inflation rate like that.
Yep.
Yeah. So they can't cut rates.
I don't know how they're going to do it, Tommy. I know that there's a lot of hopeful thinking out there that there's going to be lower rates, and that's going to allow for some – it will free up the housing market and so on. Doing nothing seems like their only choice right now to me, man. What does that mean for the commodity world?
It's interesting you say that. So I had to Google. I wanted to know the official term of conundrum. A confusing or difficult problem or question. What's it mean to the commodity world? It's interesting. We've had extreme volatility in gold. We've had extreme volatility in Bitcoin. Oil's had some good days and some bad days. I feel like grains are trending down. If it wasn't for the Russia wheat problem, corn would be at new contract lows. So once again, for you in the back of the room listening, driving, tractor, whatever, you can be mad at me, but wheat rallied $2. If wheat didn't rally $2, corn's not that far from new lows, and it would definitely probably be there if wheat didn't give us the party. But wheat did give us a party. Interested to see what the funds do here the next few weeks as we come into official silly season in the weather market. So grains have to get through the weather market. They're not necessarily watching interest rates. But let's talk cattle real quick. I know we don't have much time. Cattle market absolutely on fire. Fundamentals are winning over. A great time for the cattle guy. But I have to tell you, when you look at interest rates in the cattle market, those boys can't store and ignore. I mean, that's someone who you see these prices happening in the cash market. You better be hedging or using LRP insurance or something, because if and when they pull the rug out of this cattle market, it could be ugly. But today was a good day.
Well, you know, the cash market and the cues that we're getting from the cash market and the beef market in particular, it's not very often that I would say, oh my gosh, did you see what happened to the select beef trade this morning? But when it's up $3.80 and you got the choice up $1.50, that means that the burger guys are looking desperately for supplies. They need trim. They need whatever they can get to make more burger out there. And it's just not available. So I would expect in the week ahead that we're going to see that Southern cash cattle bid narrow the spread with the northern bid, and it's what, $10 now? You got $1.96 going in the north and $1.86 going in the south, and to me that spread's gotten out of whack, and we're going to see some strength, comparatively speaking, in the southern market. And with futures trading the southern market rather than the northern market, that's going to be positive for the market next week. Here we go, dude. Here we go, back to the highs.
Yeah, and we should have convergence, right? I mean, that's the function of the market, is in the end here when we say June's officially over with this contract, the two should do their best to come together. Interesting. Right.
Okay, and explain to me just a bit more and flesh out this thought, because when you started talking cattle, you went straight to, you got to have some protection in place. Fill that thought process out. Why?
Well, my business partner, Brady Huck and Tony Dunker at Advance, they just started selling LRP insurance, and clients are liking it. And if you want that, that's an option. It's a subsidized put from the government. It's a lot more rigid than futures and options. But my North Dakota cattle guys, I said, if you want LRP, we have it. We're registered to sell it. And they like it. So it's not about me, Chip. It's about what the farmer and rancher likes. And if you want to know why they like it, I'm going to have each and every one of them call in to the show and tell you. And I don't care why they like it, but if it helps them sleep at night, I'm good with it. And you need to know that there's periods where it's a beginning and an end. There is no middle in it, right? No. And so that's where you can, you got to work with some options in there too.
You know, I used to describe it as catastrophic insurance in case the rug gets pulled out from underneath the market, but it's more than that. It is way more than that. It's a situation where you can pencil out your break. Obviously, you pencil out your break evens on these cattle. It may not match up exactly when you close out a lot, but it's going to be pretty close. And when you can hedge break even in this environment, sometimes you need to do that. And it's hard to believe that I'm talking about hedging at break even in a market that's making new all-time highs in the cash. But here we are. That's the reality of it.
That's really scary. That's really scary. How much more time do we have? Because I know at the end you always say, let's talk risk management. How much?
Five.
Oh, right. We don't have to rush. Okay. Sometimes I come more prepared than others, but I'm pretty prepared today. I want to talk about one idea, if you have a second, about why I'm scared as heck to as this July time frame goes by. We did a live meeting yesterday at Advanced Trading Bloomington, and I brought all our cameras and microphones, and we had a live audience, and we did questions. And one of the questions that came out of the audience from a young man from Iowa, Tate from Iowa, he said, why aren't farmers selling this year's crop? Why am I not selling this year's crop? And I said, well, because the Ukraine war really mentally changed. It confirmed every bad habit you ever had. It rewarded it. And we had a couple really good years of grain trading, and then Russia invades Ukraine and we exploded these prices. And so people who were great hedgers, great forward sellers, kind of got punished for doing the right thing. So they're never going to do that again. But now as we transition from a multi-year bull commodity market to a bear, 470 D's corn has very few people hedging and selling. And if you hedge and sell by the dates, hey, we had a nice rally this winter, I'm selling some. I got the crop planted, I'm selling some more.
Yep.
It's 4th of July, I'm selling some more. This is assuming you have no storage. There are a ton of people who don't have any room to store anything.
Right.
And it's coming into July or June 15th, and they have nothing sold. And they own old crop. Interesting scenario developing. So with that, here's my numbers. Today, 143 days till the election. There's 133 days till November options expire. And there's 161 days till December options expire. July options expire in 5 trading days starting on Sunday. We're closed Wednesday. We have a holiday Wednesday. That can really mess with the market. You know how it is. We close, some news comes out overseas, the weather changes, we gap open higher or lower, and away we go. But the Perma Bowl in corn had a really bad day today. Now, the wreck of the day, the trade of the day is this. I'm going to move my clients out of November options and get them moved to January. Because with the election being 143 days away, November options expire October 25th. And I do not want to be messing with that 10 days. I don't want all my clients to lose their insurance 10 days before the election happens.
Okay.
And then we know a lot of soybeans went in late, Chip.
Yep. Yep.
Going to January options for beans.
Wow. That's thinking well in advance, dude. Does time value? Well, because you're
it'll
be about the same. Yeah.
Yeah, it's about the same. So it was within a half penny. I did a special segment with a coworker. It wasn't my idea. It was a coworker's idea. He said, do you know the difference between, you know, just call it like $11 put or something, was 40 and one was 41, or, you know, depending on what strike we're looking at. But, and so the 1 month's a little higher than the other, but then that makes up for the strike price. So it's the same price. I think this election could be, not I think, it's not like it's an original idea. Who out there doesn't think there could be extreme volatility into this election?
All the markets. In all the markets. Just an absolute no idea which way this is going to go attitude. And the markets, I think, are going to hate it. I really do.
It could be interesting.
Yeah.
Looking at Jan futures, they're 1150. Looking at no futures, they're 1150 and Jan futures were 1162. Okay. So that 12 cent difference was enough why that option, time. Yeah, there it is. There's the math, right? Same price.
Gotcha. Good stuff, Tommy. It's always fun talking with you, having you on the show, buddy. Thank you so much. Happy Father's Day, and we'll talk to you again
soon. Happy Father's Day, guys. Thank you.
All right. Tommy Grisafi, Ag Bull Media, Advanced Trading, a very busy guy, and glad that he could make a little bit of time to be with us today. All right, Austin Dillon, driver of the number 3 car for Richard Childress Racing, up next here on AgriTalk.
Wait. Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers at the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that the first June Dairy Month was celebrated in Wisconsin in 1939? Dairy Month was intended to showcase the national dairy industry in the face of drastic milk surpluses and plummeting milk prices. In 1944, Dairy Month was celebrated to promote dairy as vital to victory during World War II. Cheesemakers produce over 600 varieties, types, and styles of cheese. This message is brought to you by Wisconsin Credit Union. 14 locations to serve you. WisconsinCU.org. Wisconsin Credit Union, where they say, we belong to you.
Our community is made up of lots of different members with different interests and dreams. The same is true with our members at Wisconsin Credit Union, who count on us for lots of different things to help pursue those interests and dreams. From a range of savings and checking accounts to loans, mortgages, and financial planning, as well as specialized business accounts and services too. And unlike banking at some places where you're just a number, when you bank at Wisconsin Credit Union, you're actually an owner in a not-for-profit cooperative, which is how we can offer higher rates and lower fees and exceptional customer service. Plus, all the latest conveniences, too. You can even open accounts, apply for loans, and become a member online or by visiting any of our convenient locations. So, whatever your interests, dreams, or financial needs, anytime is the right time to join Wisconsin Credit Union. Start at wisconsincu.org. Member eligibility required. Equal opportunity lender. Member NCUA.
Now, Jolene Risen, president of the Iowa Corn Growers Association. Jolene, thanks to your efforts and a lot of other corn growers, I can still buy E15 in Iowa. So thank you for that, Jolene.
Oh, well, how exciting is that? It was a real disappointment when, you know, when they weren't going to allow that. And then when we got the waiver, it was truly a great thing and great for our consumers out there. So.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, it's available in 8 Midwest states, but you're pushing for a nationwide year-round availability of E15, correct?
Yes. Iowa Corn and our industry partners are pushing Congress to allow year-round E15. It just makes sense. I'm sorry, if it works well in the 8 states here, and we've proven that the past 3 years, we've had waivers to be able to use E15 during the summer. Why not put that out there for our consumers you know, for the people that are buying the fuel, I mean, you're going to save between 10 and 15 cents over other, you know, brands of the 87 octane. So why not put that out there? I mean, money's tight and we need to help people where we can.
Exactly. Now, how available is E15 in Iowa right now?
Right now, we've got it at over 340 stations and about 3,100 plus or minus locations in like 30 other states. Take a little look, but you can find it.
Yeah, yep. We're making progress on that, and there's still some room to go. We need to keep the pressure on Congress to get that done for nationwide year-round availability of E15. Jolie, where can we go for more information?
You can go to iowacorn.org.
Thank you so much. That is Jolene Risen. She is the president of the Iowa Corn Growers Association.
Farming is unlike any other job in the world. It takes years of experience to really walk the walk. Same goes for your financial partner, which is why choosing FBN Finance makes so much sense. FBN Finance was created by farmers to help you become even more competitive with flexible terms, rates, and instant approvals up to $2.5 million for qualified applicants. And right now, get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. The Iowa Corn 350, powered by ethanol, is running this weekend at the Iowa Speedway in Newton, Iowa. It's the first NASCAR-sanctioned race at the Speedway, and race fans are geared up for this one. Austin Dillon, the winner of the 2018 Daytona 500, will be driving the number 3 car for Richard Childress Racing on Sunday. He joins us right now. Austin, welcome to AgriTalk.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm enjoying my time here already. I'm at the Casey's General Store right across the racetrack, getting ready to do a autograph session. And look, the fans are already here, and that's why we're here in Iowa racing.
Yeah, fantastic. You're going to love Iowa, Austin. I know you are.
Yeah, I actually have had some success here in the past, so I've enjoyed racing here. You know, won my first truck race here. Xfinity Series, I led a lot of laps. So when I saw this on the schedule, I definitely got a little excited.
Okay, well, tell me about the track. What are your expectations for Sunday? It's going to have a different feel, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. You know, anytime the cup level comes here, the competition's really tight. The track's been adjusted and worked on this offseason. So everybody's going to have a little bit of a learning curve in the first practice session later this afternoon. And hopefully we adjust the best and put ourselves out front here in Iowa.
All right. So does the Iowa Speedway, does it compare to other tracks that you run on the NASCAR Series? Is there a track out there that you can say running at the Iowa Speedway is like running at?
Man, it's kind of its own unique racetrack. You know, it's a bigger, cool, faster short track, probably one of the fastest short tracks we go to. Carries a lot of momentum to the exit of the wall. Yeah, there's not many places like Iowa.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. So how is the car running? What did your crew got to do to get ready for Sunday?
Well, I mean, we haven't ran it yet, so we'll know here shortly. Okay. And during practice, and when we do get through with practice, I'll have a little better assessment. We'll make some adjustments, I'm sure, going into qualifying and race, and do our best to make a good run.
Very good. Very good. Okay, ethanol at a 15% blend rate has been part of NASCAR for a few years. What has been your experience with that fuel, Austin?
Well, we've ran millions of miles on the 15% blend, and obviously we're at the highest performance in racing in NASCAR, and what I would say is the toughest competition each and every weekend. And man, we've had flawless runs with it for a long time, and be able to increase our fuel mileage and do a really good job of testing it in the most grueling racing in America.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it that ethanol brings to the party? I mean, I've been a big proponent of selling E15 just on the fact that it's higher octane for a long time. And bringing octane to the party has got to be part of it, isn't it?
For sure. I mean, higher octane is huge. And then for me, you know, it's bringing jobs to America. I know for a long time we had American ethanol in our car, and you're putting money back in the pockets of Americans here at home. And I enjoy, the performance side of it myself a lot. The cooler engine temperatures are big as well. And we've been able to run endurance races in the off season at Circuit of the Americas and win on E15 against guys that aren't running it. So the performance is there.
Yeah, very cool. You know, what can we learn about how to use ethanol and a higher blend of ethanol for day-to-day driving from what you guys are and how you guys are using ethanol on the track?
Well, I mean, I think the engines have come a long way from the time I've been in the sport, and the way we, push them to the limits. When you run like we do at the racetrack, there's a lot of heat that goes into things. The engine gets hot, and running a fuel like ethanol can definitely help on your temperature. We've been able to apply a lot of different things from our race cars at Chevrolet to what we do at home. So I think NASCAR, just the performance over millions of miles and not having problems running ethanol. I mean, we could have a 50% blend and it wouldn't slow us down. We have as much as we want in ethanol. We really push for more from our side at RCR, and I hope that NASCAR takes a look at it. The benefits of a greener fuel is always better for environment. And I've enjoyed, definitely being a partner with Get Bioethanol for many years now, and just seeing the experience that we've had in NASCAR be so good that it's easy to talk well about it to, fans and people that, look at the myths and things behind ethanol and really don't know the truth about it. It is so good for us, and really enjoy, pushing ethanol.
Man, I tell you what, Austin, that right there is why you've got a ton of fans here in the state of Iowa, and corn growers in particular are going to be pulling for you on Sunday, no question about it. Talk about your best experience in racing. What has been your best experience?
Well, I mean, anytime you win is big. My first truck win in NASCAR came here at Iowa, so that was huge. I remember that win. It always sticks in my memory. I had to fight off Johnny Sauter on a restart. Daytona 500 obviously is a big one. That's a trophy that when you walk by, you stop and you look at and you're pretty proud of. So those two are pretty big in my mind.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. All right, so bottom line it for us. How do you see this race going for you and RCR on Sunday?
Well, I sure hope that it ends with the number three out front with Get Bioethanol in the hood, taking the checkered flag in front of so many corn fans here in Iowa, being the Iowa Corn 350. Is it the 350s? How many laps we got here? 350.
Yeah, 350.
So, yeah, hopefully that three car, crosses start finish line first and we locked ourselves in the playoffs.
That's fantastic. Austin, I know that there's a lot of corn growers that are going to be rooting for you. They want to see that number three come across the get the checkered flag on Sunday. So good luck to you. Go get them.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
You bet. Thank you so much to Austin Dillon. He is the driver of the number three car for Richard Childress Racing. We had a conversation with Richard Childress this morning on AgriTalk, if you didn't hear that. So go back and listen to that. Thank you so much for listening on this Friday. Come back on Monday morning. We've got a conversation. We'll have the results of the Iowa Corn 350 for you. We'll also have a conversation with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley and Machinery Pete. That's Monday morning here on AgriTalk.
That's the sound of your current hype level at the gas pump. But brace yourself for something fuel nominal, because Unleaded 88 is about to take the hype to a whole new level. Unleaded 88 is cheaper, cleaner, and greener than regular unleaded. Plus, it's homegrown, making Unleaded 88 the clear choice at the pump and totally worth the hype. So pump it up with Unleaded 88, brought to you by Iowa Corn.
This is Andrew McRae, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.